if you were there, you would have had some fried chicken. Did anybody like the fried chicken? I thought it was pretty good. Yeah? Yeah? Destiny's not in here, but she's our intern, and she hooked that all up, so she did a great job getting that together. Well, that fried chicken was so good that, and we had some left, right? That, you know, I thought about bringing some to Lake Bentonville, right over here at Osage Park. You guys been to the newly finished park? I mean, it is a wonderful place. You got to go there. The truth is that my kids wanted to go fishing because they love fishing, and they will go anytime they get a chance. But also, because just a few days earlier, we were at Lake Bentonville, and my youngest son, Nate, who's 7, he hooked in to a big catfish. Now, I wasn't there for that one, but they claimed that it was 2 feet long. I don't know if you've been to Lake Bentonville. It's not a very big lake, but that's a pretty good-sized catfish for Lake Bentonville. And so the kids were anxious to go back and try it again. And you know what? That's a great Father's Day for me. That's awesome. So we went after the baptism service. And so after that service, I thought to myself, do catfish like fried chicken? That was my thought. Well, we got to the lake, and, you know, I spent most of the time helping the boys, you know, for a good long while. That's what happens when you take kids fishing. You spend most of your time, like, untangling the lines and baiting the hooks and re-rigging the poles, and then just when you're ready, you do it again. And so, but there was a break in the action, all right, for a moment, and I put a piece of that holy fried chicken onto my hook. And you know what happened? Within 10 seconds, my line ripped out. And guess what? Happy Father's Day. I caught that fish. The kids were saying, get the net. We caught the catfish. I've got it up. I just wanted to show you how fun. If you guys got it, maybe you don't. Wait. You have to have the picture. This is all going to be a complete lie. We measured it. Guys, seriously. I mean, they don't even believe me. We measured it at 22 and a half inches. So the kids were close. It was almost 2 feet. And I ate it last night. Thank you very much. All right, guys. No one believes me. You didn't put the pictures up. But if you find them, put them up. I'll tell you what happened, though. When we walked out of the park with this big catfish, it was like I was holding the Lombardi trophy. No joke. I was like the envy of every dad that day. And it's just a day that my whole family will remember. It was just a simple thing to go out there. My whole family will never forget it, but you guys were going to forget it because there's no picture. Okay, so let me tell you something else that happened, though, out there. There was another family, okay, and they were fishing right next to us. In fact, after a while, we had caught so many fish that the dad said to me, we are living vicariously through your family. And we kept catching fish, and they weren't catching fish. And after getting acquainted, I said, well, what are you using? You know, I felt bad for him. What are you using? And aside from, you know, the anointed fried chicken that I used on that one occasion, we were rigged up exactly the same. Our gear was the same. We had the same worms from Walmart. We had the same size hooks. We had the same bobber, everything. It was all the same. And even on occasion, we'd cross into each other's territory, but they weren't catching fish, and we were catching all the fish. It was unexplainable as to why we caught nearly all the fish that seemed to be in that area. But here's what happened. My kids began to notice that whenever the other family would miss a fish, or they'd get snagged, or just in general, for no reason at all, every other word out of the dad's mouth was a word we don't say. We don't say those words. At least not in public. We try not to say those words, okay? Guilty. All right. But you know what? After a while, we heard about the entire dictionary of words we don't say. Okay, this stuff happens. But I don't want you to think that I think poorly of this other family. I don't. I don't think poorly of them at all. In fact, as we were walking to the lake, we arrived at almost the same time as them. As we were walking down to the lake, there was a cottonmouth right there on the shoreline next to their kid. Hey! There it is. Look at that. See? There's the fish. It was very tasty. Okay. Do you got the other one? There it is. Come on. That's it. We had a good Father's Day that day. All right. I've given away my secret location, too. Where was I? There was a cottonmouth. That's it. The cottonmouth. It was right there on the shoreline. It was by their kids. It was by our kids. It was by a bunch of kids. And that other dad, he sprung into action, and he went down. He literally grabbed, like, this stake that was holding up this little tree and just went, pow, and just snapped it off and went, hah! And he killed the cottonmouth, and I was like, yeah, bro! It was awesome. It was awesome. So I liked having them around. I mean, they had to get a rein on their tongues, but I liked having them around. But here's the deal. It really didn't matter whether I caught a fish or not, whether I caught that catfish or not, right? What mattered at the end of the day was that my kids really noticed the difference in my speech. That's what they noticed. And they brought it up to me. They said, Dad, they really swear a lot over there. You see, here's what my kids caught that day. They caught character. They caught everything that other guy was saying. And they caught my example to them that day. And I'm grateful that we all stayed calm and had a good time. Because there was a couple times when I thought, well, maybe I need to remind him about what he's saying. But I didn't do that. We had a good time. And so they caught a moment of character. And the quality of the character that we bring really matters. Turn the page. The quality of the character that your kids observe in you, that really matters. It matters as much as the time that you spend with them. In fact, those things go hand in hand. And I told my kids afterward that there was really no explanation for why we caught all the fish, and they didn't, other than this. We just know that God can bless us if he wants to. So I just used it as an opportunity to tell them, hey, God blessed us. And then I told them that, I said, look, we don't have to talk that way. I sometimes want to cry too, Judah. I told them, we don't have to talk that way, right? We don't have to talk that way to have a good time. And so they learned that, and I used it as an example. And then the last thing I told them was this. I said, now get in the car. We're going to go celebrate at Dairy Queen with some blizzards. So we got some blizzards. It was fun. This is just normal life, right? You hear stuff like that all the time. This is normal life. These are everyday occurrences that happen where you can be an example to your kids right in front of their faces, or an example to anyone around you, or the perfect stranger next to you who's trying to do life the best he knows how. The best he knows how. I mean, at least he was out fishing with his kids. That's cool, right? Someone said this. They said, there are three ways to raise your children. Number one, by example. Number two, by example. And number three, by example. The example that you set by your words, right? The example that you set by your actions, and the example that you set in your home. Those are of major importance in your life. So here's what I want to tell you today. Okay, here's what I'm here to tell you today. This is all God wants out of you. Do you believe that? This is all he wants. He wants a good example. For you, it's not that complicated, is it? Okay, let's go to Scripture now. We've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we are in Ephesians chapter 5. And so here we go, all right? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. It starts this way. It says, therefore, okay, time out. Don't go any further, right? Anytime you start with therefore, you need to read everything before the therefore to understand. But we've already done that, right, in our sermon series. But when it says therefore, it means here it is, guys. Here it is. Here is the reason for everything that's being said. Here is what we are after right here, all right? It's like saying I took some fried chicken to the lake, and therefore I caught a monster catfish. All right, I'm trying to stretch that out a little bit. All right, that is what all our effort was about, right? Catching that fish. And this is what all the effort and the planning and the time and the research is all about. And this is what it was all about for Paul, right? This is the big catch that Paul wants you to get your hands on. You got to get your hands on this right here. Are you ready? Ready for the rest? Here it is. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the thing you've got to get a hold of in your life. Be imitators of God. In the context here, there's a lot going on in Ephesus. There's a lot of evil in this culture. There's a lot of cultural influence and a lot of pressure on these early Christians. And as a reminder, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Ephesus had a temple built to the Greek goddess known as Artemis. She was the goddess of childbearing and fertility, and a lot of other things associated with how that happens, right? So, and this temple was one of the seven wonders of the world back then. And so right here in Ephesus, we're talking about the most worshipped deity maybe in the world, back then, but definitely in the province of Asia where they were. This is the big religion, okay? And this, in Ephesus, because that temple was there, this is the center of that worship. How do you live in that culture? How do you stand against that kind of influence in the culture in which you live? This is the answer. By becoming an imitator of God. Become an imitator of God. The word imitate here, here's what it means. It just simply means to follow. As in to follow in someone's footsteps. And the idea of following in someone's footsteps is not just to tag along, right? It's to become like them in every way. In their actions, in their words, and in their attitude, in all aspects of their character, and by the example that they set. A lot of people follow Jesus for a while. Lots of people follow Jesus in the Bible, but they never became like Jesus. A lot of them bailed out early when things got hard and more difficult. And here, imitate literally means follow. It also means to make a copy of, to duplicate. Duplicate. So when I was in college, I worked in maintenance on the campus. And It seems as though I was constantly remaking keys, right? There's so many doors, new doors, old doors, lost keys. I was remaking keys all the time for the entire campus. And so, you know, before the days of those cool kiosks, you ever been to Lowe's and you're just like, boop, and it just makes a duplicate for you? Pretty cool. I was using one of those manual ones. And I don't know if you've ever seen those. But basically what you do is you take the original key, right? And you have it over here. And you place it in this little clamp. Just clamp it down. Boom. Right? And then you take an uncut key. It was a blank, right? You take an uncut key and you would put it on the other side, clamp that down. And then you'd press forward together. Press forward, both of them. And this is exactly how... Why am I talking with two mics? I just realized, can we switch to this? I'm like, this is so hard. Try this one. Hey, Jared, does that work? Are we good? Can you hear me on this one? Oh my gosh, you guys, I don't know what's wrong with me. Okay, whoa, I am free. All right. So you take the original key, you put it in this clamp, you take the blank key, you put it over here, and you press forward together, right? This is what it looks like to walk in love with Jesus. You walk beside him, you press forward together in everything that you do. And this is how it would work. Here's what would happen. The original key would follow this guide, right? It would follow a guide, but the other key would be up against a grinder. And so as you're following this guide, the other key is going, and it's grinding out this metal, right? And as the original key follows this guide, and the pattern of the key is followed, the other key becomes an exact duplicate. And it begins to resemble, and then it becomes the exact same thing. And that's exactly what happens when we give our lives to Christ. When we give our lives to God. When we open up the Bible, okay? Now, guess which key you get to be? The one that gets grinded on, right? The duplicate key. That's you, and that's me. And so you kind of, when you give your life to the Lord, you kind of get clamped down. He's like, okay, Lord, clamp down on my life and start grinding away. That's kind of what happens. But as you press forward together, right, you become a duplicate. You take shape, and we slowly begin to resemble him in every way as we continue to walk with him throughout our lives, through the hard times and the good times. All these things are the grinder that help you take shape, that shape your character. And so Paul says, here's how we do this. We do this like children. Well, why does he say like children? Well, we're God's children, yeah, but children are the greatest imitators of all. They imitate everything. I can't tell you how many times I've been ready to watch the football game. Right? We've been waiting for kickoff. And then kickoff happens. And only a couple minutes in, the kids aren't even watching the game. They're playing the game. And it's usually right in front of the TV. And I'm like, get out of the way. I'm trying to see. Right? They don't want to watch it. They want to imitate it. In fact, as I was writing this sermon, I heard a ruckus going on down the hallway at my house. What's going on? Well, you know, the Olympic trials are on. You guys watching that? And I think the men's 110-meter hurdles are on. And I go out there, and I'm like, what are the kids doing? They're not watching the Olympics. They got the Ottomans out, and they're hurdling. Boom, boom, boom. They're like timing their go. I mean, they imitate everything. Wow.
That's why it's hard to write a sermon when you got kids. It's like, I need some peace and quiet here. No. So this is a huge reason why God wants us to imitate him. Right? Because he knows that we are going to be imitated. Everything you do is going to be imitated by your kids. The beautiful thing about this is that when you imitate Christ, you become Christ to someone else. Right? That's the plan. We get to follow Christ, press forward together, get grinded on, you know, and start to look like him. And then somebody else watches us, our kids and others, and you get to be like Christ, Christ-like to someone else. All right, Jesus left us the ultimate example to follow. And his example of love carried him all the way to death on the cross. He was committed to that love. And we are supposed to walk in that same love. But how do you imitate that? How do you imitate Christ like that? With that kind of passion and love? The way you do it is that you have to know what he's about. You have to know him on a personal level. We have to understand his ways. Right? And this is the best way to do that. The God that we know has been revealed in his word. That's the grinder wheel, you know? Jesus is here in the word. We got to come alongside it and just press in it together. And it starts to take shape. I want to close with a few thoughts here. And here's what I find interesting about our culture, okay? The cry of our culture is to be who you are and to not be ashamed of that, right? You've heard this. There's some truth to that. But what if who you are doesn't look like Christ at all? That's the problem with that. You know, our culture says to be who you are because you're one of a kind. And there's nobody else like you. Right? You are an original. And I think I've even heard that said, you know, be yourself. Be original. And therefore, don't let anyone tell you how you got to be. Because you're original. And that may sound good, and it may be the flag we're waving right now. But that's not where God is leading you. That's not where you're being led. For a God imitator, for a follower of Christ, the exact opposite is the truth. The exact opposite. In fact, the word original is actually the antonym of imitation. Think about that. Original is the exact opposite of imitation. That's what the world's telling us to be. God's not asking us to be original. He's asking us to be a duplicate. What do you think? Maybe you can chew on that for the rest of the day. Think about what that means. Let's invite the worship team back up as we close. You guys start making your way up. Few more comments here as they're doing that. Listen, the world right now, and you see this. You see this every day and on TV and everywhere. Everywhere you're watching, any media. The world is full of people who want to be acknowledged for who they are, right? And or the way that they say they were born or whatever their preference may be about something, right? You hear this all the time. But the truth is this, that no matter how you identify yourself, If you want to be a part of God's kingdom, His plan has always been for us to become something different than we are. Right? His plan for you is to become different than what you are. To follow His example. To become like Him. We should all start looking the same because we're following Him. People should be like, oh, I know that person. They go to Hope Church, because everybody from Hope Church looks exactly the same. They're all following Jesus, right? That's kind of how it should be. Follow His example. There's only one original. Amen? And your life is to be patterned after His life. This is our great calling in life. The example has been set by a pattern that's been marked out for you by Jesus Christ. Make God your example. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, before we worship You again and close this service, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would continue to follow Your example and the pattern that You have set for us. Help us to learn, God, to walk in Your ways and to become more Christ-like, to become imitators, that we would resemble You to the world. We don't care about being different and original. We care about being like You so we can be the light of the world, that same light that lives in us. Help us to press forward together with You. In the name of Jesus, amen.